grey squirrels, American grey squirrels. It's a species found on the east coast of the United States. Brought to Ireland in 1911. Had already been established in
every
county
in Ireland has an American mink, and of course it's adapted to water courses. So wherever there are rivers and lakes, there are mink, and there's lots of rivers and lakes in Ireland, so there's lots of mink spread throughout the country. And they got here because in the early 1950s, there was a start of a mink farming enterprise. And as a schoolboy, I saw practice with a vet.
It's quite like the old mink mussel we have on the coast, which is called the blue mussel. But the zebra mussel has, if you look at it very closely and sort of use your imagination a little bit, you can see black and white stripes on it, like a zebra. So that's what the zebra mussel is. The main difference between the zebra mussel...
Your arm out like this, and the Earth began 4.6 billion years ago, as pretty as you know, and the length of your arm is the whole time on Earth. The oldest life as we think of it, there's some controversy about it, as always with these things, probably appeared about the shoulder, 3.4 billion years old. And for all this period of time, the only sort of life that was around. The other area many of you may know about is Lake Clifton. Here's Lake Clifton, south of Mandurah. And stromatolites are found most of the way along the eastern shore of Lake Clifton. They're also found in a few of the other lakes, but most of these have been dead for some time. And occasionally you find living mat that's not forming the stromatolites. But the Lake Clifton stromatolites are really nice.
This is where the groundwater is coming in from, well, used slightly as a gradient, topographic gradient towards here from the east. And so that means that basically there's a hydraulic gradient in the groundwater that is pushing water, albeit very slowly, but consistently towards this eastern margin of the lake. So what happens along here? The groundwater actually, and you also notice we're in a pinnacle sort of carbonate terrain in the hinterland there. The groundwater actually gets saturated with respect to calcium carbonate.
Thank you.
were to drill some holes out there, 50 or so metres, drill down, you'd find saline water that's come out of Lake Clifton, kind of on a counter current approach. And then systems like Hayward and Yalgrup, which are extremely dense, they would have a plume of dense water that's probably just going straight down to the base of the aquifer and probably leaving.
There's an old cockatoo over there, you can hear it. Yeah. Mm. I'll do a proper scan anyway, too, because the fact that one took off and then two indicates that they weren't flying off together, probably. We've got to give you a better look than that.
Oh, maybe. That's pretty cool.
Back in the 1990s, was able to show that what's controlling the distribution, you can see here this white shelf, which is the stromatolite reef, is actually the groundwater flow. So it rains here on the reef, and a pillar inlet's over here, and the rainwater sits down from the shoreline.
Unless they're sitting still, you can usually pick them up fairly well, but I've seen people when they're in the edge of the rocks walk right past them.
Mm.
Even Bill and Jim walk right past them.
No,
some people like what I said. No, but you went into Shark Bay, yeah.
I went to Shark Bay.
My husband's a fisherman.
If you've just joined us, or if you haven't been paying attention this afternoon, there is a fire in the aquifer, which is just south of
Put your bushfire survival plan into action. If you're not prepared or have decided to leave to a safer place, leave now.
The flames are above the rooftops and spot fires are breaking out up to 300 metres ahead of the firefighters.
If you're away from home, do not try to return, as the road conditions in the area can be very dangerous. A number of roads have been closed, including Armstrong Hills Drive, Southern Estuary Road between Old Coast Road and Old Bunbury Road.
What's the way down? The breeze is not too strong down there, but it's strong enough that it is picking up embers and it's causing areas ahead to actually catch on fire. I'm driving there now, there's a lot of smoke chasing the fire. Firefighters are there on site, they're being assisted by aircraft support, and hopefully we'll get quickly on top of the passing fire that is causing the most problems, and pull it up nice and quick, and get quickly to then return to their homes as soon as possible. If this means please put a load of information, and if there are changes, we'll make sure it gets ordered through to them. The fire is getting towards a few homes on the edge. As the fire gets more and more to the west, as we head into
conditions are changing.
Oh yeah, I can
mile, mate, that's all that's really left, you know. You can see there, nothing else is left. It's only really just kicking in because they want us to go up and have a look. It's interesting.
Where were you when you first heard about the fire, or did you see it?
Oh, I was in Boddington. I was about an hour and a half away, and I could see the smoke. And so I rang my son-in-law, and he said, yeah, the fire's nearly at our door. And so I just told him to get in the car and take off. And then I got halfway down and my phone ran out. And so I stopped at my mate's place and put my phone on charge.
Risk. Change means taking functional, physical, social, financial, safety and product risks. And I don't want to do that. Divine determinism. God or Mother Nature is in charge, not us. It will work out. Don't worry. Uncertainty. Other words, how to act. Norms, where to act. Is this really as not taking action? It's not fair for me to do so when they don't. Habit. Behavioural momentum keeps me tied to I'm not in the right setting or situation to act. Environmental numbness. Inaction that stems from ignorance. To tuning out after hearing the message too often. Denial. It's not a problem. Or at least it's not one caused by people.